Hey, hey, hey. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Yes, you are tuned in to Simply Hanif. That's me, she, your girl, Simply Hanif. And I'm very excited today. I have two special guests, and usually I say that everywhere. Every time I'm on the show, that I'm very excited because I am. I'm walking in my calling, and I'm excited to do what I'm doing. Anyhow, today we have the beautiful Phoenix White, and her testimony and her story is going to change and help someone today just to see where she's at. I want to talk about how she overcame being raped at her graduation and just a few other things that kind of blew my mind, and to see where she stands and stands strong in her calling. We also today have Marcus Davis, Chef Marcus Davis. We're going to talk about how he lived in Compton and still does, and how he is being a positive role in his community and in his own life. But before we do, as you guys always know, we have to pay those bills, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we will be speaking to both of our guests, but first we'll be speaking to the lovely, lovely Phoenix White. So in a few seconds, I think this sponsor is Perfect Sex, and that is a group, everybody. So we'll go ahead and take our sponsors, and then we'll be right back all right now.
Hey guys, I'm Coco.
I'm Clara.
And I'm Seth.
We are Perfect Sex.
And we wanted to invite you all to come check out our music at PerfectSexMusic.com.
We do it all. You want blues? We got blues.
You want hip-hop? Perfect Sex is hip-hop.
And if you like dance, guess what? We do that too.
We do it all.
So if you want to hear some cool music that's different than everything else out there,
check out PerfectSexMusic.com.
Now back to keeping it real with Simply Hanif.
We love you, Hanif.
Thank you for tuning in to the Simply Hanif Radio Show. Please continue supporting the show by tuning in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at hanifrjordan.com and click the Simply Hanif tab for more information. Simply Hanif is a wife, mother, and mentor. Hanif brings the best interviews and conversations to you. Let's laugh, cry, grow, and drink coffee.
Inseparable, we used to be. Bring us
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back, everybody. It's me, she, your girl, Simply Hanif, and I'm excited because we are on live today. And I will be taking calls pretty soon as well as we get into the show. You were just listening to the lovely tunes of Melba Moore's new song. I was honored to have her as a guest here. But anyway, let's talk about my guest, Phoenix White. Yes, she's a native of San Diego, California, and is a true inspirational success story, and I believe so myself. From being torn from her family and placed in foster care to surviving rape, abuse, life-threatening condition resulting in brain surgery. So we're going to talk about that as well. Phoenix found a way to turn her trials into triumph and has since become a powerful voice in communities worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, just hearing that alone would have broken anybody's spirit, would have broken someone, and I think she made that decision, that choice to listen to that inner spirit and decided to thrive. In addition, you know, Phoenix is well known as a celebrity photographer and is currently a high sought after television producer and director. So I'm excited about that. And we'll talk about more about her credits and what she's doing and what she's done. But in the meantime, as you guys know, what I love to do is we hear from our guests and we allow them to speak their truth. All right, now, welcome, Phoenix. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. I'm very excited to have you on, that you answered the call. I tell people social media is something else, right?
You meet so many amazing people, and you have such direct access. You know, so it's really cool. Thank you for reaching out to me.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was going through your, I think it was your Instagram page, and mm-hmm. one of your clips just threw me back. But what threw me back the most was really your light. Because as you were telling your story, you had this beautiful light about yourself and that you were at peace. And mm-hmm. I think that alone can help any woman or young girl that is going through something or has been through somewhat of your story, that we can survive and that you can thrive and live in your calling.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Because you know what? When it comes to, like you're talking about surviving things, going through things, like at some point when you've done so much work on yourself, it's nice when other people can see you glowing. You know, they don't see that pain and that heartache just still on you. You know, they don't see that depression still on you, all that stuff that you went through still on you. So it's a nice compliment that I embrace when someone says, I can see you glow. You know, so thank you for that. I can see your light. I appreciate that. Continue to walk.
Now, I wanted to talk about, I hate to bring you back to it. I talk about my history, just so you know that we're on the same platform. I was raped. I was a product of it, and I'm a survivor mm-hmm. of it. And one day I just chose to live. I chose it mm-hmm. not to define me, and when I did that, it's easier to speak about. Now, there's times it's hard to speak about, but then there's times I just really just speak about it because I know that I'm helping someone else. But mm-hmm. at any point in this interview, if it's not something you want to speak about, you are welcome to let me know.
No, I'm open to anything. I'm open to whatever you want to ask.
I give that option to everybody because sometimes you just don't want to talk about it, and I get it. But I wanted to talk about you being torn from your family.
Mm-hmm.
I only have a snippet of that story. Can you elaborate a little more on what happened? And and did that take you being torn? Is that what linked up to you being raped during your graduation night?
No, those were actually two separate experiences at two totally
Good.
Different times in life. When I was taken from my parents when I was younger, that was because someone had done something to me, and at about 8 or 9 years old, I apparently had caught chlamydia from someone. That's what I was told. I have no honest recollection of anything that happened to me.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I have no recollection of that event happening. I just remember the results of it. So, you know, going to the doctor, and being police officers coming to my house and taking me and my sisters away soon after that, never really knowing what was going on, placed in foster homes, my mom screaming and crying, and, you know, like us just being in the dark about what happened. And it wasn't until, I want to say I was about 13, 14, that I was told that my dad had molested me or done something to me, which turned out to be false. But this is what I was told. This is what I was, what was branded into my brain, and that I liked it, and that that was the cause of me catching whatever I caught, supposedly, and being sent to that foster home because of
that. Has been traumatic.
It was. You know what the as I wrote my book, the traumatic part of it, once I started to kind of dig into my past and learning to heal from it and trying to put all the pieces together, what I found is that over the course of my life, that story repeated itself. It was never feeling good enough, being told that I was the cause of my own pain, you know, being told that I was the girl with the scarlet letter, you know what I'm saying? I was a bad person.
Right.
I was the reason for all of the problems. And I think that did a lot of damage to me more so than the physical act of what I don't even remember, you know, so it was being told that something happened, being told that I was a bad person, being told that I was a whore by cult, you know, by definition, however they wanted to slice it, by people I didn't even know. So that,
whoa, that is powerful that you were such a young girl, and
yeah,
to be called those names and to be labeled as that. And it's funny, I sympathize with you, because I too had that scarlet letter on me. And
yeah,
then for me, in a sense, I decided, well, that's what they want me to be, that's what I'll be. Isn't that crazy?
Exactly. Well, yeah, for me, it wasn't that's what they want me to be. I think it was more so of, I was always being branded and stamped with something that other people were placing on me, which started to be embedded into my spirit. So it wasn't that I was physically going out and doing these things consciously. It was that once somebody stamps and brands you with something, then it kind of becomes you over time, even if you don't know why. You know,
you're
it's like if you embrace it, especially when it's that younger conditioning. Because I didn't know why. They didn't say, oh, you're a whore. It was like, you're fast, and you did that, and you liked it. You know, you let your dad do that to you, and you liked it. And I was like, what are these people talking about? You know, I had no idea what they were talking about. Like, I didn't know about the chlamydia and, you know, all that stuff. I never knew about any of that until I got around 20. You know, so I was just told these things, but never really knowing why I was being told these things. You know what I mean? So later
and
on,
I do get it, because
life,
you're such
difficult.
You're so young, and there's no way when you basically should be playing with dolls at that time. Who knows about all this other stuff that adults are putting on such an impressionable kid? I just love the fact that you've moved forward in your life, and I know that it's, to me, I always say it's always work, but it's work that I choose to do, that I realize that. And this is what I've seen in you, that you have tapped into your joy that God has given you, and you haven't allowed anyone to take that from you. Happiness is our choice, so we have to choose that daily. But I see that joy in you, and it just drew me in, which I'm sure is going to draw other people in. I just wish you the best on your journey. I love that.
Thank you.
Let's talk about a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, graduating, getting ready to graduate and move forward with her life, and someone decides to violate her. At that time in your life, what was going on with your inner person, your inner phoenix?
At that time in my life, I believe I was in a place of looking for acceptance, love, feeling good enough. You know, so when you meet someone who makes you feel that way and you're not very strong independently or confident-wise or self-esteem-wise, because you have to remember when I said that thing from the child, that stamp started, that continued throughout my life.
Correct.
So that never feeling good enough always feeling like you're falling short, always feeling like you're to blame for every problem or issue that happens. Rather someone takes something from you and you're blamed for it, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, like, whatever it is, just being the problem, you know. So at some point you want to be built up. And not that I had a bad, horrible childhood. Like, my parents loved me. I was aware of that. But I think being moved around in between them going through their problems, you don't feel wanted or like you belong. You know, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm being tossed here, you know, because they're going through their divorce stuff. So for me, it was like trying to find acceptance and love and care from men, you know, people that were, that I felt like were special to make me feel that way. If these were special, amazing, powerful people, I wanted them to make me feel that way because in return, it would validate that I was something else other than how I felt or what other people had placed on me. So the guy that did that day, that was a person who was popular, who was considered special by public definition. And he made me feel good about myself. So I felt safe. You know, I felt like, oh, wow, finally somebody is, you know, taking me out, making me feel good. And
right.
Showed me a great time. I trusted that. So when he wouldn't take me home and he took me to a house full of guys, I was like, wow, once again, I put myself in a dumb situation, you know, or once again, it's my fault. And I think when you start to feel that way, you're just like, man, I can't even tell anybody. And then the shame after whatever happened, the shame of it and the guilt of feeling like you were the cause of that is something that caused a lot of damage.
It really does mentally, and that's the thing. It takes a toll on you mentally and spiritually.
Yeah.
You may not even show it physically, but mentally and physically, I say that I was walking around like a zombie because you do blame yourself. That is the truth. That is one of those emotions because you're trying to figure out how come I didn't get out the car? Why didn't I make why didn't I make a sound?
Why
decision?
Didn't I know? Yeah.
Right. Why? How come you couldn't see the signs? And as we get older, we realize that you can't see the signs of someone that is used to doing this. This is what they do. But that comes later. And no matter how much someone tries to reinforce that with you, you have to reinforce that to yourself. What I'm proud of is that to meet such a woman like yourself is that you decided to live. You actually said, I'm going to go ahead and live. When I'm reading a little bit about you, you have an amazing, adorable 9-year-old son. How did that change you to have given birth to a son when men have shown you something different?
It was hard.
And I say that because I'm a mom of sons. It's different.
Was,
it's different.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard because after a certain point, I started to become very numb. You know, so I had to train myself, like reteach myself how to love someone other than a man. Because it's like when you're giving all of that because you want to be loved and appreciated and acknowledged and all that stuff by a man, it's very different than the love that you give to a child. But I had to learn how to fuse it together to where I treated him the same way that I would treat a guy, you know. The same patience, the same to learn him, the same admiration, the same joy. Like, I had to learn how to give the same love. I mean, not in a sexual way, but the same love and, you know, in time. Because when you're in a relationship, you're way more patient than you are with kids. You know, you're not so quick to get so mad or to yell or to lash out as you would a child, you know? Who's kind of acting up or driving you crazy at the moment. So I really had to learn how to fall in love with my son. And it took a lot of work once I realized that I was very angry at the men in my life after I had my son because I felt like I was abandoned by them with a child. You know, so when you feel like you do something for someone else and you don't do it for yourself, which is something that I did, which is something that I take responsibility for, I started to blame them for my actions as well. I allowed them to do that. I allowed myself to be in that particular situation. You know, so I chose to have a child with that person. So at the same time, I'm just as responsible for my actions because I chose a person that I knew wasn't capable of being a parent, or I knew wasn't responsible, or I knew wasn't mentally ready for that sort of situation. But I chose that person anyway. I chose to do it, so I had to make myself responsible. And once I looked at it from that perspective, then I had to change the way I looked at my son and not be so bitter about it because he didn't have to be here. So I had to learn how to fall in love with my son. I had to learn how to be more compassionate. I had to learn how to, you know, stop what I'm doing and make time to just give him affection. Because I used to be very closed off to that.
I'm hearing, what's so powerful is that you decided to own up to the chaos that you've created in your own life.
Exactly.
And a lot of times we choose to sweep that under the rug. And that is what's so powerful about you, Phoenix. You are truly walking in your calling, and it's truly going to help someone grow and be better. Because I do honestly believe that if we can own up to the chaos that we cause in our own life, then we can grow, and we can move on, and we can open the doors to something better and really what God really has for you. You have a thing that you say, walking in flow. What is that about?
I do. It's so funny that a lot of people are catching that. Walking in flow is not trying to control every aspect of my life, what I do, where I go, how I do it, but just flowing with whatever my spirit tells me to do, I just do it. So if it tells me to move, I pack my stuff up and I move within a week, you know, or whenever it is. If it tells me to shut this down, go left, then I shut it down and I go left instead of going right. And most times it makes absolutely no sense to anybody else, including myself. But I've always found every time I just flow. I don't fight the current. I don't, you know, try to knock down a door. I don't try to force myself into any particular space. I just flow wherever I'm flowing to. I just go with the current. It's like, to me, I see it as being in a little boat on a river, you know, and you just letting it flow wherever it's going. I'm not paddling. I'm not using a whole lot of extra energy to go an opposite direction. I just flow with the current. And every single time that I've ever done that, I'm so blessed. And I end up in places and doing things I never thought that I could ever do. You know, the favor that I'm showing when I'm obedient to my spirit is
and that's what it is. I think that you're obedient to the spirit of the Holy Spirit, and because you are, and that's so not easy to do. It's so not easy to do because you got to remove yourself. You have to actually relinquish control.
What I have found is if you change the way you look at it, and it's like, all right, well, I'm a chill then, you know, instead of having to feel like you have to do so much work, it's almost like we're addicted to having to fight for everything, you know, having to control everything. But if we just relax and just flow, and if you even look at your history of the things that you've come through and the things that have happened when you thought that it was impossible, and it was like, wow, everything just worked itself out the way it was supposed to. So it's actually easier than people think. We're just so used to fighting for everything, you know, because that's what's been embedded in our brain, you know. So walking in flow is actually the easier solution. You don't have to work as hard. You know, you just flow into what you're supposed to have. So it's just thinking of it from a different perspective.
And I love that you use that term, walking in flow. It makes sense. And I think that it can make your life so much easier when, like you said, you just hearken to the spirit. I always say for me, I had to learn to just give up control. Being a survivor of rape myself, I said to myself, you know, I had to have the control because for so long I didn't have it. I have allowed other people to dictate things in my life. You know, I lost the control. When you get raped, you lose all control. I lost the control of even my thoughts. So as I made this vow, I guess, didn't even realize making the vow to myself that I'm going to be in control of everything. But what I realized is when I gave up the control, things flow different. So I love that saying that you do, walking in flow.
Another thing I love to say, too, that I honestly live, is you have to leave room for miracles to happen. And when you control everything, You don't leave any space for anybody to surprise you, for God or the universe to bring you just random stuff. You're like, oh, you know, like I remember someone telling me, okay, so I have to get this job and work this hard for this many years to get this car, right? And I was like, but what if somebody just walked up to you and gave you the car? You have no space for that. You know, so like that's how I
love
it. You know, like you have to leave room for miracles to happen for what you want. Just know what you want at the end of the day, but don't try
to
control the process of getting there. Do the work, yes. The work is required. And it could be a lot of hard work, you know, based on what it is that you're doing, but leave room for miracles to happen is one of the biggest lessons that I learned.
Leave room for miracles. I'm going to be, that's tweetable, you know that, right? So leave room for miracles to happen. Let's talk about where you are today, you know, because that doesn't define you, but it has gotten you, I think everything anybody has gone through life has prepared you for your right now.
Yeah.
You know, and you can take it to a positive place or a negative place. And I love that you turned it all around to be positive, and like you just said, you left room for miracles to happen. So let's tell everybody where Phoenix is now in her life, your present state, what are you doing, and how you are emotionally.
Right now, I feel more balanced than I've ever felt in my life. I feel closer to God than I've ever felt in my life.
Wow.
I feel more at peace. I am confident in my own skin. And I'm in a place where I'm not competing or fighting for any particular space to be in. I'm just doing me. So whatever it is that I love or the creative ideas that pop into my spirit or the things I'm supposed to do or that I'm passionate about, I'm just doing them. Like, I'm not making excuses. I'm not looking for someone to hand them to me. I'm not focused on any particular outcome. I'm just doing what I love right now.
And I love
when you just focus. When you just focus, to me, on what you're passionate about and what you love, instead of trying to chase a dollar or trying to make some money, I found that I end up in the most amazing spaces. I always end up with more money than I ever thought I would have. I always end up doing jobs and things that I thought that would take me years to get to that position. But because I'm just going with the flow and I'm not addicted to any outcome or stuck on any outcome, the things that come into my life are amazing. You know, so that's where I am. I am producing and directing. I don't know if you want me to be specific, but I'm producing and directing.
Yes, so people can know what you're doing, follow you, and support you.
Yes.
Absolutely. You're free to go ahead, honey. Shout out yourself. That's what it's
about. Well, I didn't know how you wanted me to go into it, but I'm definitely producing and directing, which is something that I absolutely love, for creating shows and directing them and working for different networks and different companies. It's amazing. I'm writing my second book. Well, I'm finishing my second book. I already have my first one out, which is Redefining Strong. I have a show that I do every week called At First Light that goes to people's emails every day through my newsletter.
What else am I doing?
You have it?
Yes, I do.
So you get my daily email.
Yes, I do.
I sit and I write those every morning. So whatever drops into my spirit, I send that out. And then every Wednesday, I send out a video, an At First Light video. So I'm on my second season of that, which is really cool. I'm about to start doing some other network shows. So it's mostly just all creative stuff. Like, there is honestly no telling what I'm going to do. But right now, producing, directing, and motivational speaking. Oh, I'm speaking at a couple of conferences coming up.
That's good. Where? Where's
so those
one that's
are
coming
big.
Up?
I have one on July 31st in Dallas. It's called Breathe Sessions Live. And then I have a teleconference on July 6th, which is called Confession Sessions. It's a lot of sessions. And then in September, I am the keynote speaker for a conference for, I think, 2 or 3 days in Houston. It's called Voice Your Invisible. It's for women who have survived abuse in some sort of way. So
time for
those are
going to
be some really great conferences. Yeah.
I love what you're doing. It's a season for healing is my motto. It really is. And I love the fact that I think that, I don't know if you're aware that you have tapped into that what God has for Phoenix, God has for you. And what God has for Hanif is for Hanif. And so when you realize that, when you finally get that clue, there is, for me, I tell people I'm not worried about any competition anywhere. I just do the work. And
exactly.
As you say, I allow the miracle to happen. Did I ever think in 10, 15 years ago that I would ever be where I'm at now? Absolutely not. But I just chose to allow my passion to fuel my purpose. And that I am important. I'm here for a reason. I am worthy. And that the journey is a beautiful thing. I say that the end of the journey is when I'm in my grave, and I'm not ready to go there yet. So I just commend you, Phoenix. I love what you're about. I wish you nothing but continued success, what God has for you. And please continue to inspire. We need you here. I do get your weekly newsletters, and women need to know that they can heal. And that's one of the messages that I got. Just really, just from one of your snippet, I think it was video, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I have to, I'm going to inbox, I'm going to keep on commenting. And she answered me. Hey,
you know,
you got to do what you
got
to do. I was like, I'm going to get her on this show. And you answered.
And I
thank you for that. I thank you for answering, even giving someone like me, whose dream is to one day be on that platform just like Oprah. That has been my dream forever, but I never had my voice. People don't know that. They think that, oh, well, now I talk a lot because I'm a talk host, but there was a time I didn't say anything. But I found my voice.
Yeah.
I tapped into it. I'm walking in it, and I'm just honored to know you. Tell my our listeners, if they want to, you know, get in contact with you for anything that you are doing, your work that you do, how can they find you on social media?
Well, I'm definitely really active on Instagram. And that is Instagram.com/PhoenixWhite. And my website is PhoenixWhite.net. And if anybody ever wants to email me, I respond to all of my emails, which is info@PhoenixWhite.net. So I get every email. That's the main places I'm at. Twitter is Phoenix on Twitter. Facebook is Phoenix White. So you can find me anywhere.
That Instagram works. Well, I tell you, one of my close friends said, you need to go on and get off Facebook and get on Instagram.
I am rarely ever on Facebook.
I'm on it because I guess it's just me. I'm a little older. But it's like how the kids used to like Facebook, you know, how MySpace was, and now then they moved. Okay, so that's me. I'm the older I one day woke up, and I'm the older lady. I was like, what happened? So I'm trying to get with the times and get on this Instagram. God bless you on your journey. Phoenix, I would love one day soon do a face-to-face interview with you so people can get more in-depth in the radio. So I'll be contacting you soon again to see how we can make that actually happen. Is there any last words that you would like to say to our listeners or some young woman that is listening today?
Yeah. What's on my heart to say is that everybody has a place. Everybody has a specific purpose or reason or value for being here. And it's up to us to do the work, to push it out. It doesn't matter how big or how small. At the end of the day, do what it is that you are called to do, and you'll find that everything that you love will start to flow into your life. You just have to go for it. You have to just start.
I think
if people just start, like, listen to your spirit. If you see those visions, if you hear those things in your head on a consistent basis, and you really want to do something, just start. That you don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of people. Just start. And everything that you need will begin to flow into your life.
Absolutely, I do believe. I love that. Thank you. Listen, ladies, I hope, and gentlemen, whoever's listening, it is important to start right where you are and what you already have. That's what I'm doing. That's what I've done. I love that you said that, so you're not discouraged. I didn't see, we have a lot of callers that are on the line, but I didn't see anybody push one. Just so you know, Phoenix, it has, you have lit up this, you know, my switchboard here. But what I don't see is anybody, if you are wanting to speak to Phoenix, I'm going to see if she'll stay on hold for the rest of the show, and I'll take some calls. But awesome. Just be reminded to press 1 so I can see that you want to talk to her or any of my guests, and I will definitely cue you in. Thank you, Phoenix. I'm going to go ahead and get ready to have my next guest on. So I'll just keep you on hold.
Okay.
Awesome. All right, everybody. You are still tuned in to Simply Honey, and that's me. We're going to take a small break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Marcus Davis. Yes, we're going to talk about just what made him start cooking. We just got a lot to talk about, so I'm excited about that, and we'll be back.
Do you want lots of chemicals and artificial stimulants? Or are you ready to try the natural alternative? It's time for you to try Revive. Packed with the power of 21 superfruits and a touch of green tea, Revive really delivers with antioxidants, nutrients, and real energy, the way nature intended.
Hi, I'm Brian Klein, CEO of Rushmore Essentials. I want you to try Revive, our brand new vitality drink. Made from 21 pure and powerful superfruits I hand-selected for quality and blended for performance. Revive gives you that great feeling of well-being and vitality without the jitters of an energy drink. You can feel great about the quality of Revive. My family has been in the fruit business since 1939.
Revive is ideal for healthy, active people who are looking for the real energy it takes to live life to the fullest. Not just for 5 hours, but all day long, every day of the week. Buy Revive at Vitamin Shop. For more information and valuable coupons, visit our website at drinkre.com. That's drinkre.com. Revive yourself today.
Hi, this is Felicia Benson-Padilla of FNB Communications, and you have been listening to the latest single from Psalmist James W. Dale, prolific worship leader, musician, songwriter, producer, and independent recording artist. For booking information, please contact FNB Communications at fnbteach@gmail.com or 646-206-6967. And be sure and visit us on Facebook. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Simply Honey radio show. Please continue supporting the show by tuning in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at HanifRJordan.com and click the Simply Hanif tab for more information. Simply Hanif is a wife, mother, and mentor. Hanif brings the best interviews and conversations to you. Let's laugh, cry, grow, and drink coffee.
Hey, 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 everybody, welcome back. You are tuned in to Simply Honey Radio. I'm about to say TV because I do my YouTube too. But anyhow, our next guest is Marcus, and Marcus Davis, and I'm excited. He is a chef raised in the city of Compton, everybody. He is motivated to succeed from seeing his beloved grandmother push herself past her limits to provide a deprived lifestyle. Marcus has since redirected that exact drive and motivation into Chef Marcus Bowl Davis. Let's talk about it. Hello, Marcus.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Marnie?
I'm well. Thank you for being my guest on Simply Hanif Radio Show. And let's talk about you know, being raised in the city of Compton. You know, sometimes that gets a bad rep, but just how your passion is for cooking. Where did you learn that from?
My grandmother, actually. I was raised by my grandmother in Compton. And I have a lot of cousins, sisters, brothers, siblings, aunties. And she was a cooker in the family. She cooked for about 20 kids, like, every day. Like, I want to give her respect and say over 20 kids, but only she knows the real number of kids. But, she used to take me with her to grocery stores, Food for Less, and I'd help her pick out groceries. So I also learned how to shop at an early age. And during, like, holiday season, she would always have me stay up and watch, like, turkeys, hams, chitlins, and all kind of things while she got some rest. And I just, so it was sort of like pre-installed at an early age. I knew what cooking was. I wasn't aware that they were called chefs or anything of that nature, but I knew that I wanted to cook like her. It was so inspirational to me to see her over the stove, like providing for, you know, such like a bad situation, such a bad living situation. So sort of wanted to pick up the baton after her.
And you did just that, and you're now, let's talk about, if you don't mind, your age, because you're a young man who could have went any other way. Especially, you know, I lived in the city at one time, living in the city. It's just very easy to do that.
Yeah.
Besides your grandmother, your drive, what motivated you to say, I'm going to make a difference, I'm going to be different, I'm going to be more of an inspiration to other young black men like me, that you can do whatever you put your mind to. What made you just say, I'm going to go for it and start my own catering?
That's definitely based off of seeing things being raised the way I've been raised and the situations I've been raised in. I mean, I've seen so many black African Americans like myself who sort of went the other way, who drifted, who branched out on the more, not the path that none of us really want to go down, right? It's maybe jail, gang banging, you know, those kind of things. And there's not many inspirations growing up, and I just decided that somebody had to do it, even within my family. Like, I mean, I love my family to death, brothers, sisters, mom. I love all of them, but somebody, I just felt like somebody had to step out and make a difference and become that glimmer of hope or that shining bright light of hope for somebody within my family or friends or anybody who would see it. And I just sort of seen everything that was wrong that I wasn't supposed to do. It actually became relatively easy to make the decision to just, like, do right and live correctly and, you know, live by the footsteps of God as well, thanks to my grandmother and cooking.
Oh, she installed that in you to talk about Christ.
Yes.
Amen to that. Nothing like a good grandmother. There is nothing like it. I didn't see you at the Nora Unicorn event. I was expecting you. I was there. I was going to interview you live.
I feel so bad I had to, because I have some very, very, I mean, I'm not placing them in a category of her event not being serious, but I just have a lot of things to attend to, and I have to just pull back. But I do have her on speed dial with something, for sure.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to take a small break, Marcus. I'm going to come back, and I want you to, when we do come back, I want you to talk about one of your favorite dish that you like to make that people wouldn't expect you to cook.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I know
sure.
You cook other stuff. And so I want to talk about, because I'm a foodie. Yes,
really?
So I want to talk. Yes, I love food. But I do. But it's a nice thing to see a young man that likes to cook, too. A man that women, I think you can get through our hearts, too, through food, too, okay? It's not just y'all men. So when we get back, we're going to talk about that. And I do have a caller obviously on the line as well. Finally, so remember everybody, if you are tuned in, you can dial 646-478-5323 and just make sure that you press 1 so that I can see you on the switchboard to see if you would like to speak to one of our guests. But before we do, we're going to continue with our interview with Marcus. Marcus, I'm going to take a small commercial break, and when we get back, we will finish this conversation.
I am thrilled.
All right, everybody, we're going to take this small break, and I like to take this small music break. It's a song called My Soul Says Yes by Rockboy Fresh. If you're a believer or not, the music is still good, but it always does something to me. So here you go.
Far away, 'cause right then I was. Forgiveness in my heart, I had to let it go. So stop right there and release me. To who the sun sets free, say he's free indeed. I couldn't point the finger, y'all, it was all me. Now I'm wrestling like Jacob, bless me. I dropped the ball, I did the sin. I had to recognize what's coming from deep within. See, the devil found fear in me, and the fear of me equals insecurity. The perfect love casted out all fear, and it's the love of Jesus Christ that brought me near. I say yes to your will, Lord, yes, and that my soul says yes.
I heard you call my name.
I heard you call my name,
God. But I went so far away.
But I went left because you told me to go right.
Right in, I was afraid of you. Yeah, I thought I had done.
Is yes. I still gotta crucify the flesh. Said every little thing that's inside of me, that's not like you, take it out of me. You see, my spirit is willing, but my flesh, this flesh, it keeps winning. You see, it's trying to take full control of my mind and my body and my soul. But my heart, it says yes. Yes to your will, I'ma go through the fire. Yes to your will, Lord, show me the way. With my hands in the air screaming, I'll obey. Lord, if you show me the way, I'll fall to my knees and I'll pray. But first I gotta seek God's face and turn from my wicked ways. I say yes.
Oh my soul, my soul.
Oh my soul.
Oh my soul, my soul.
My will says yes.
Oh my soul, my soul.
My heart says yes.
Oh my soul, my soul.
I said my soul says yes.
Oh my soul, my soul.
My heart says yes.
Oh my soul, my soul.
Hands to the air, yes.
Oh my soul, my soul.
Yes.
Oh my soul, my soul.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Welcome back, everybody. You are tuned in to Simply Hanif. That's Mishi, your girl, Simply Hanif. And I'm excited because today I've just interviewed some wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, amazing people. And I love doing that. Phoenix White was just on, and I'm telling you, she is an inspiration. And I hope that she knows that she is a beautiful soul walking here. She is the gift to us all. And we have this talented young brother. Yes, we do. Marcus Davis. And I'm just inspired that he, as a young man, really didn't know what a chef was all about, but enjoyed his grandmother's cooking and wanted to learn how to cook, and now he brings us good food. So before I left on break, I said that I wanted to talk about a food that we won't expect him to cook. So with no further ado, let's have Marcus back on. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, what's up?
All right, all right. So what dish have you made that I wouldn't expect you to cook?
Barley, actually. Last year for a event I did, for a film festival last year, I made barley. I went the route to make barley. It was something that I wasn't quite familiar with, but I had seen it on Chopped. That's one of the I love this show, Chopped, Iron Chef, those things. And I needed a, you know, I needed a rice. I needed something to sort of soak up juices and sauces and just make the whole experience like that more worth it. And I chose barley. It was took a while to cook, but it happened. And the guest took kindly to it, actually. I can't say that I personally was a fan of it, but I knew that it would be a game changer and that it would present something different and unexpected. And, you know, if you know me to be very bold with my decisions when it comes to cooking or really anything that I do. That's really what it teaches, just to be bold with whatever it is you want to do. And
right,
you know, if you stand true to that, it'll all be okay.
I love it. What is one of your favorite dishes? Is it something complicated or something simple?
That's such a hard question we ask in a chef, because we make so many dishes, we like so many things and so many different tastes on our taste buds, but I will say that I am clearly a big fan of like ramen soups, like ramen dishes, like no matter if it's udon noodles or whatever, I'm a big fan of ramen soups. I make them a lot. And if I see a good ramen bar, rather than being a little Tokyo mainly, I will definitely go there and try my hand at it.
Oh, I love that. All right. Well, I don't like ramen, but we'll see what else. I know that you cook really well, but No. And I laugh about that, but I'll tell you why, Marcus, so that you know. So, this could be just a mental block for me, but there was a period in my life that I was homeless, and all I could eat was noodles. And I promised myself when I got on my feet, I would never eat it. I ate noodles for almost a year. Do you hear me? So when I see noodles, I'm like, I'm good.
That's funny, because that's sort of the same reason why I love them so much, because I was raised like eating them, like Nissin ramen noodles, Top Ramen. And it's sort of like, you know, this, I stay true to the roots of myself. I like to stay true to things, and it's like, oh, I can get sort of like a more gourmet advanced Top Ramen. So I have a taste. My taste buds love ramen, but I still eat ramen. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I definitely will buy a ramen soup and jack it up, doctor it up, and make it look like it came from Japan or something. But
I'm not mad at you, but don't serve me none of that noodles. Isn't that funny? The way the mind works, I'm like,
It is. I mean, eating with the mind. It's. I've seen one time that someone made a burger out of like the ramen soup, like the ramen. The noodles from the ramen soup, how it's hard. I believe they may have boiled it a little bit and seared both sides just to soften it up, and they made it and used it as a patty. So I thought that was really cool. I used something from my childhood that's like that, but that was cool.
And see, that's only something that a chef can see, and I love that. And we're talking about vision and walking in your purpose. When you're walking in your purpose, fueled by your passion, your creativity is there. So you're able to create and see things in food that most people won't see. what is the most creative dish that you have made that may even have shocked you?
The most creative dish that I've made, gosh, I'm very, I actually made a few events last year. I made like macaroni. They were like grilled cheese, not macaroni, but grilled cheese, like stuffed grilled cheese, like balls I made. I have a habit of like stuffing like things with stuff, like say like a meatball. So I also made a jerk chicken meatball last year at an event that I'm going to be doing pretty soon again for the second year in a row, where I stuffed it with like some plantains that was caramelized with brown sugar, and I made like a jerk barbecue sauce, and it was in the meatball was just like really seasoned, like very Caribbean, and it worked out well. Like the guests, like they ate it up. They got rid of it.
I know. I'm hungry now. Hell, I'm only drinking coffee right now. It made me hungry. Oh no. But Marcus, tell all the listeners how they can find you if they need to find you. And before we do that, listen, anybody, if you're on the line and you want to speak to Marcus or you would like to speak to Ms. Phoenix White, make sure that you press 1 so that I can see you on a switchboard. We have a lot of callers on, and I thank you for tuning in. Without you, I couldn't make this possible. Oh, and we have a caller, so let's see.
Of course.
Hello, caller. You're on the line with Simply Honeys.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
I'm good. Well, I want to ask Marcus Davis something.
Okay, go right ahead.
All right, as a young man coming up in Compton, what drives you to be great?
Oh, that question. The struggle. Struggle drives me to be great. Like, struggle. Everybody, struggle was free. Everybody, that was the easiest thing to do. Like, everybody was doing struggle. And I'm somebody who, if you know me, you know I like to be different. And the struggle is what caused me to want to, gave me a lot of motivation. Even the motivation I have now, just seeing friends and family members struggle, that is where I get all of my motivation and energy from to do, you know, the things that I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, everything in your life, I think Phoenix said it as well, brings you to where you're at today, right?
Exactly.
Is there any other questions, sir?
Not at all. That was enough right there for me.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, callers, I see that I had another one, but then it left. So listen, remember everybody, 646-478-5323. Press 1 if you would like to ask Marcus Davis or Ms. Phoenix White any questions. We are still live on the line. Oh, okay, I said that.
Ask away.
The whole thing lit up. All right, 1 second. Oh, my goodness. All right, everybody. Hello, you are on the line with Simply Honey.
Hello?
Yes.
I am the grandmother.
All right. That's your grandma,
oh
Marcus.
I know. I am really devastated right now, in a good way, though.
No,
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know why he hasn't mentioned Jesus in our circle.
I think I mentioned God. Didn't I mention that? You got my back
you
on
did,
this.
You better mention it again so she can hear you. Don't you?
By the grace of God and my grandmother's prayers, I am even to this day still able to do the things that I do, and I wake up. And I know that heartfully that has one of, if not the biggest impact on with me waking up every day. Is I know that my grandmother has prayed, and she will always pray. She's prayed every single day, and she continues to do so to make sure that all of her grandkids are alive and well, regardless of what we're doing. And that gives you, you know, that's like my suit of armor when I wake up every day. It's like, even if I don't pray, because, you know, I know who Jesus is, but it's my grandmother that sort of binds all of our relationships with him. And I know that I can walk among this earth peacefully and with a smile, as long as she continues to pray for me, and I love her for that to death.
Awesome. And you can tell how much of an impact that your grandmother has had on you, and that's a beautiful thing because a lot of kids don't even have that, and you are blessed. And I know that she is proud of you because you chose a different path other than what you saw.
Yes.
Yeah. I am very proud of him. I have 23 grandkids.
Ah, see.
23 great-grandkids, and I am godly proud of all of them.
Yes.
I thank God for our struggle. I thank God for his strength. And, Mark, I love you.
I love you too, Grandma.
You be blessed. You be blessed. I've taken my turn. You be blessed.
Okay, I'll call you right after the interview, Grandma.
Okay.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing to have that support. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the line with Simply Hanif, and your question is for?
My question is for Marcus Davis.
Okay. Go ahead, Marcus. You popular. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I want to know, do we cook soul food?
Actually, I do, actually. I cook soul food with clients and on an event if they're requested, but on a daily, my 9 to 5 actually is a very, very good soul food restaurant located off of Pico and La Brea called Mama Soul Restaurant. And I'm the head chef there. So, I do soul food cooking from 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. All day I cook soul food.
We have another caller. Caller, you're on the line with Simply Honey.
Hello?
Hello, caller. Yes, your question.
Hi, this call's for Chef Marcus.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, go right ahead. He's on.
I work with teens who are aspiring entrepreneurs, and if he could give one piece of advice on how to overcome struggle for young people who are thinking about being entrepreneurs, I'd love to hear it.
The best advice that I've given and I can give to that is to find something and stick to it. Find something that you love. Find something that motivates you for whatever it is, and stick to it. You know, study about it, learn about it, and let that become your pathway. Like, just create a tunnel vision for what it is that you want to do. And things, staying true to things have always proven, and with me, I've proven to get you to where you need to go and create a positive environment and place yourself around positive people. And it sort of subsides all the negativity and the struggles. Just find something you love and stick to what it is that you love and end it, end everything with what it is that you love.
Yeah, you do have to focus on, I think your love will still go back to your passion, what you love. If you're just walking in that, it isn't as hard as we think it is, right? Because sometimes we stunt our own blessings and we just overthink things. That's why I love what Phoenix was saying, walk and flow, just to let some things flow. Marcus, it was a pleasure. I mean, I got this phone line was lighting up for you, bro. if I have any more callers on the line, you are welcome to press 1 again. I'm on the line with Phoenix and Marcus Davis. The number is 646-478-5323. Please press 1. That is the only way that I can see if you are on the line, if you want to talk to someone. So, Marcus, I don't know if we said it already, but let our listeners know where they can find you on. Mm-hmm. You're really mainly on Instagram, right? Or do you have?
Yeah, it's Instagram for sure. But the easiest, I mean, Instagram is definitely one of the social media handles that I'm very active on, but I always encourage people to, they can just Google Marcus Bold Catering. That's Marcus, M-A-R-K-U-S, Bold Catering. And all of anywhere, my Instagram, my Facebook, all those things will pop up on that, on a Google page, as well as interviews, as well as articles, those sort of things. So it's it's a much easier way to keep up with me if you don't already know me or have, my direct line.
I love it. Stay on the line. Hey, Phoenix, you still there? Miss Phoenix White, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Before, I didn't want to let you both go. I wanted to tell you both thank you so much for being my special guest today on Simply Hanif Radio Show, I wanted to tell you that I'm inspired by you both. Your tenacity is remarkable to continue on with your life, but for you both, that you understood that whatever you went through your past set you up for where you need to be today. Phoenix, as I said before, your light shines, and I am grateful for that light, and I pray that you never allow anybody to dim it ever again. You are here for a reason, and God has such a plan for you that is actually bigger than you. Marcus, young men are looking up to you, wondering how they can make it out and how they can do better. So I challenge you to continue to tap into that no matter what is thrown your way, no matter what it looks like. Stay on the path that your grandmother had you on and instilled in you when you were younger, and continue to be that inspiration, because, brother, we need you, and we need you here doing good things. So God bless you both, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is a pleasure. How are you doing, Phoenix?
Oh, I'm good. It's nice to meet you.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. See, and this is connections around here. Phoenix, you never know. We might throw something and need him to come cook for us.
Right?
And I might need Phoenix because she's good at that camera. I'm like, hey, I need to. I thought I was doing something, but I guess not.
and
this is a woman. Oh, God is good. We're all walking in our calling, and I'm just honored to have you guys on. Before I end the show, this is what I like to leave to everybody. And I hope everybody had their cup of coffee. You know, today we laughed a little, but I always say let's laugh, cry, grow, and drink a little coffee. But I do want to say this. Please check your hearts. Be mindful of your thoughts and your words and your actions, because you may be the only God that someone sees today. God bless everybody. Have a great one.
Thank you for tuning in to the Simply Hanif Radio Show. Please continue supporting the show by tuning in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at hanifrjordan.com and click the Simply Hanif tab for more information. Simply Hanif is a wife, mother, and mentor. Hanif brings the best interviews and conversations to you. Let's laugh, cry, grow, and drink coffee.